Go get them.
Thank you, Andrew. Good morning. Ah, that was pretty good for 9 o'clock in the morning. So these last 5 weeks, we have been in the book of Daniel, the first five chapters in the book of Daniel. And whether you have read it for the first time or whether this has been a recap for you, it's been amazing to me how we have been able to capture the character of Daniel these last 5 weeks, looking over his integrity, his radical obedience to God, and even from taking him from his homeland into exile in Babylon, being chosen to be the best and the brightest into the king's court. And even as a teenager, Daniel resolved and refused the king's wine and the food to radically obey God and even thrived in that situation. We see his integrity there. And with Daniel and even his friends, we see where they chose to refuse to obey to anyone, to bow down to anyone but God and God alone. And as we've watched over these last five chapters of Daniel, how he even rose in the ranks of the kingdom because of his humble service to the king that God had put him with, because of his integrity. And as today we turn our attention to Daniel chapter 6, this is a story that many of us are pretty familiar with, a story a lot of us have read since we were little and can see the visuals of Daniel in the lion's den. And this past week, as I was reading the story and I was asking God if he would give me a new vision for this story, a new heart for the story, I was overcome, actually, quite honestly, by the emotion that came over me for the story, and it was the emotion of fear. Because fear is a basic human emotion. It's one that's actually for our good. It helps us it signals danger. And it helps us actually with our body to protect us and to protect those around us. But often with fear, what it actually does too, it stops us from doing other things. It holds us back from places in our lives where we don't necessarily gain the life that even God has called us to do. And as we turn our attention to Daniel chapter 6, we can see a part in Daniel where he has to either choose to stay silent and be held back, or he has to face the fear, face the lions. And as we open our Bibles today, whether that's your paper Bible, reading along on the screen this morning, or that's on your phones, my hope for you this morning would be that you would take up a posture that would allow for you to read this word fresh today. So whether that's closing your eyes and listening, your hands open to receive, because I'm fully aware, just like anybody, I probably have the attention span of a gnat compared to anyone else in this room, but that, I mean, we have so many other places to go today, right? We've got our Costco list, and we've got our to-do list to do, and our honey-do list, but that we can just take this time to be transformed by God's word this morning, that we can hear this word in hopefully a new light, because I truly believe that God has something for us this morning that can transform each and every one of us if we hear it, and if we're willing to let it bubble up and to hand it over to God this morning. So would you hear the word of God and follow along with me this morning? Daniel 6. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps. So I apologize for that word right off the bat. I had Google read it to me 3 different times, and it said 3 different words. So I'm going to go with satraps. To rule throughout the kingdom with 3 administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps try to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of the government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." I pause there for a second. Can you imagine a government official, a public office? I know there's some shakes in the head. Like, there's nothing in your skeleton closet? I mean, I don't want to run for public office. That's awesome. So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce a decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. So that wasn't the complete truth. Not all had agreed. And Darius was flattered but manipulated. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room, where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying, asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who was one of the exiles from Judah, one of those foreigners, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays 3 times a day. And when the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, "Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. Then King said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den, and when he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" And Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all of their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and people of all every language in all of the earth, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of the kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders. In the heavens and on the earth, he has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. This is the word of the Lord. So we see here Daniel had to choose between staying silent, right? There was a fib told. Not all of the administrators agreed. There was one who didn't. And the king had been manipulated, flattered. So he had a choice. Either he needed to stay silent. There was nothing saying that Daniel couldn't push it back, right? He could have prayed silently in his head, or he could have prayed in an inner room. But Daniel had to choose between praying like he always did, three times a day, out in the open, toward Jerusalem where people could see him, or face the lion's den, face a fear. Now, I don't know for sure if that was Daniel's fear, but I have to imagine it would be anybody's fear to face a lion's den. But he had to choose between those two, and Daniel was basically also choosing, am I going to bow down to man, or am I going to be with God? A radically obedient Daniel, we already have seen in his character, and he chose that the safest place for him to be was in a lion's den with God. Because he knew that God would be with him. Because I think sometimes, even in this story, we forget how scary that would actually be. I grew up with the version of the children's church version. These were some cuddly little lions, and Daniel suddenly became the lion whisperer. And, you know, he's patting the cute little lions. And I don't know about you guys, but I go to the zoo when they freak me out. And let alone them being right here in front of me with the breath on my neck, and I know that lions eat meat, and I've got to imagine I'm a tasty little treat for them. And I also have to imagine that Daniel did walk out of that lion's den and need a new underwear, right? And it wasn't just Daniel. Daniel was radically obedient to God, and God shut the mouths of those lions. But Darius was watching. Here this king is saying the God that you continually serve, and he's watching to see what happens. And kingdoms change because of what happened. And the same thing happens with us. We have to choose to stay silent, or do we face our fears? When we take that step to decide whether we're going to face our fears or not, we actually are saying, I refuse to let this fear bind me any longer. Because we all have something in our life that holds us back. Because we have to, when we decide that we're going to trust God in something, when we decide that we're going to step up and recognize that God is with us and face the lions, face the fear. We trust God in surrender. We say, this fear will no longer bind me, and I will surrender it to God, and I will take this next step toward him, because God is with you in it and for you. But first, we have to face it. We have to name what our fears are, because until we name what it is, it stays in the dark and it holds us back. Because I think there's a lot of things often in our lives that that's what we do with it. We're kind of an avoider society. It's easier to just push it back or to not even believe it's actually there. But when we actually end up in a lion's den, it gets revealed pretty quickly. A couple weeks ago, we saw in with a couple of Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were up against a fiery furnace. And they had to choose between bowing down to a false god or facing that fiery furnace. And out of their radical obedience to God too, and trusting in him, and trusting in the outcome, regardless of what it was, they trusted in God. It didn't matter what the circumstances were. They knew God was unchangeable, and they knew that through the fire or to God, either way, they trusted God. And when they did get thrown into the fire, bound, Christ was with them. And when they came out of the fire, unbound, they were free, unbound from the fear. When we face our fears, when the temperature gets high, usually where our fears get revealed, we have to decide, do we trust God with them? Because I think that that's a lot of times where we get stopped. Do we trust him? Do you know him? Because if we trust God, then we need to trust him with our fears, to know that he's going to be there with us through it. Because it's through his strength, through his power, that we do make it through, and that we take those next steps and surrender. Do you trust him? Do you know him? Because he created you. He calls you a masterpiece. He calls you beloved. He loved you so much that he didn't want anything to separate you and him. So he sent his son to show you, to show us how to live, how to love. And his son obediently and confidently went to the cross, to the ultimate lion's den for us, and went through it so that nothing could stop us. Because I think also the other thing that holds us back from surrendering our fears over to God is the places in our lives that say that we aren't worthy enough. We actually made those fears happen. We deserve those places that we hold back in our lives, that we hide, that we don't do, that we don't step out in faith because we're in shame. We're not good enough. We deserve it. And when we put our trust in Jesus, when we believe in Jesus, that's all gone at that cross. The impossible made possible on that cross. That resurrection at that cross is done. The condemnation is done. It's a free gift. It's finished at the cross. And not only is God for you and through you, he is in you. So what are you afraid of? And this is where I want you to get a little uncomfortable for a minute. We don't do that enough either. Can you tell I counsel a lot? I'm somebody who, if I cried in front of you a couple years ago, I wouldn't want to look at you for weeks. Because I would be so embarrassed. Now I have no problem with crying in front of you, so don't you worry. We need to be emotional about this today, and so if somebody gets teary around you, yes, maybe give them a high five. I want you to feel this today, and the reason is because when we do actually think about that thing we're really afraid of, that fear that we don't want to let bubble up inside of us. We don't want to get a little, I say this just because this is what sometimes happens to me, some sweat on our brow. Stomach hurts a little bit. We get a little emotional. We don't want to feel it, but we hide it. And we need it to come to the surface. We need to be earnest about it, honest about it to God, and to be able to say, God, I trust you with this. I want to surrender it to you today. And I want to take the next steps towards you because I want to gain a life that I've been holding back on. Because what does that look like? When we hand over our fears, we actually gain parts of our life we didn't even know. Sometimes we're insecure, so we don't want to help out in children's church, or we don't want to serve in certain places. We don't want to give. We don't want to do certain things just because we're holding back out of fear. In worst case scenario, when our worst case scenarios happen with our fears, and they do, God is still with you. And he still takes you through those, and it's through his power and through his strength that we get through it. I've had the honor of being able to talk to people when those worst case scenarios happen, and they will tell you, I have no idea how I would have made it without his power and his strength walking me through minute to minute. He is unchangeable. So friends, what is it? What is that fear in your life that makes your stomach hurt? Are you afraid of losing someone? Are you afraid of death? Of abandonment? Of being alone? Are you afraid of losing a certain identity or a title? Of success? Of failure? A death of a spouse, of a child, of a parent? That insecurity you just don't want to let go? Those places, that broken heart you just haven't still gotten over? You're mad at God and you don't want to hand that over? Because sometimes even the fear actually comes out in different places, doesn't it? Hardness. An old broken heart, pride, anger, a fake smile, superficiality. We don't want to go there. But there is so much release when we actually do. Because there is joy that no one else can explain to you. There is peace that really truly does transcend all understanding. There's wonder like you've never experienced. And those holes that you feel now in your life really do get filled when it's Christ who's filling them. But you don't always get to experience them until we've handed over those parts in our hearts to God. In your bulletin this morning, there is a little piece of paper, and there's two in there, one for you and for a neighbor or someone with you. There's also extra, so there's no excuses. And on there it says, God, I surrender, and what you're going to surrender today, hopefully, to you. Help me to seek you first in radical obedience and surrender my fears to you. What do you know you need to hand over today? It's always kind of there. It's kind of lingering at the back of your mind. Is there something you're willing to give to God today? He already knows about it. Can you hand it over? Because friends, it's not always even just about you. There's people around you. They know it, they can sense it, and they need to see it. Because you may not tell them about it, but they can tell. And they need your God too when they're going through things. I know the places in my own lines then, because often many of us have already been through there. Those places that you're on your face praying and asking God to take it away. Maybe you're at the front of the lines then clawing not to have to go in it. I know that was me. But the very thing I was praying God would take away from me, the thing I was bound to actually in fear, was actually the very way that he unbound me from, set me free from it, was through that lion's den. Because facing our fears often actually helps set us free from those fears. It is not easy. But every time we actually do face our fears in a radical obedience to God, it becomes easier. I can say that in confidence being up here on this stage. What do you need to surrender today? And as the worship team comes up forward this morning, would you write on here? Do you have a pen? And as they respond in worship, in song, and as we respond, my hope would be is that you would fill this out, that we would pray together over this. And then you would be able to walk up and to fold it up. This is between you and God. And place it in the basket up here this morning. And there's tissues up here because my hope is that there's some tears involved in this morning. And to place it in the basket. And I know that might not seem like much, but it takes effort to write it down and to take it to God. And it takes effort to get out of your chair and to take it to the front. And it takes effort to go and sit back down. Because this can transform your life, and not even just your life, friends. The people around you, I know it doesn't always seem like it, but you know, you've seen the person. You've seen someone walk through what could be even described as hell. And walk through it, clung to their God, and you want what they have. They need your God. We all need our God. Jesus transforms lives. The impossible made possible. He is with you, he is for you, and he is in you. I refuse to be bound by my fear any longer. Are you? Will you pray with me this morning? Father, I ask and pray that as we surrender these fears earnestly and honestly to you, Lord, would you help us? Would you help us seek you every moment in these fears as we face them, just as hard as it is to go up against the lion's den, Lord? You know what's involved, the heartache, the tears, the just walking up. Lord, would you help us to transform and make changes in our lives that include being closer to you and seeking you in radical obedience with every moment of our lives? Help us be more focused and closer to you as we surrender our fears to you. And in your precious name we pray. Amen.